UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, partners know where to go to get their business brought to you. A new partner, Moby Dick. For over 50 years, locally owned, Moby Dick has been committed to serving the city of Louisville high-quality seafood. Quality that starts with their fish, wild-caught cod from the icy waters of the North Atlantic, breaded fresh daily. You won't find a better fish sandwich. And don't forget about their famous hand-cut onion rings cooked to order. With 15 area locations, Moby Dick has learned it's the people that make the restaurant special and lasting. They appreciate their customers for making them the fabric of the community. And a Louisville staple since 1967. Moby Dick, a whale of a sandwich. I will say this. My first 2 weeks overseas, we found a place with a fish sandwich that tasted like the Moby Dick fish sandwich. And I never, is this somebody we gotta take? I never, ever gotten tired of a good fish sandwich. I've been overwhelmed by basically every food in my life outside of fish sandwiches, mashed potatoes, and spaghetti. Those three just I literally could never run out of gas, and unfortunately I can't have those every single day. I'd actually have those together if I could. Just have to work out my spaghetti. That would blow me right on up. We have a couple on the phone line. Brian's kind of tied up. He's getting it to me. Let me go to it. Todd, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Good morning, Marcus. How you doing, brother?
I'm real good. What about you?
I'm doing fine. You were mentioning a little bit earlier about there are a few plays in the game that can, you know, shift the game, decide the game, things like that. Now, I know that there was rain falling during the game, you know, that they were playing in. Mm-hmm. And when you have that, it's hard to grip the ball. But if you remember in the first quarter, Pfeiffer was running down the field wide open, nobody with him. And the ball was over his reach. Now, that's a big man. I mean, you know, he can't jump up and grab it. But, you know, and then another time, and it was in, I believe, the first quarter, I'm not sure, but Tutu Atwell was wide open and just overthrew him. And if you hit him, you know, where he can get a hold of the ball, he's gone to the house. That could have been two touchdowns right there, two opportunities. Mm. And when you're talking about sports, you got to take advantage of your opportunities in order to win the game. Now, I understand when you're playing in weather where it's harder to grip the ball and things like that, you know, you're not going to have the best passes and things. But we can't, and on defense, you can't end up being like what Grantham was when we were here.
Yeah, just blitzing everything. Yep. No, I get it, Todd.
And when on third down here, we want to keep, you know, everything in front of us. you know, but you're rushing three, not getting any pressure on the quarterback. That gives him an opportunity to overlook the field, go through his reads, and you know, hopefully somebody's going to be coming open.
No, Todd, I think we all saw the same thing on that.
Well, do you think it's a good idea to not be predictable?
No, listen, Todd, I appreciate the call. There's a difference between predict. Listen, Todd, you're a fan of the Denny Crum era. You know there's a difference between predictable and execution. And I think we're still so in the execution phase that we are just now making sure we line up everybody and everybody knows their exact assignments the way they're supposed to. We are still in infancy stages of being able to know your play, know your position, know your responsibilities, be disciplined enough to stay in your coverage areas every single play, the consistency of doing it every single play before you even have a chance of out-scheming or zone blitzing your opponents. Like,
let me ask you a question. Do you think that we have only touched the very tip of Scott Satterfield's playbook then?
Yeah. Oh, of what they're able to do? Like,
because he doesn't think that they're able to run the majority of the stuff that he wants to run with the talent that we have.
Oh, no, they've proved that there's a lot of things that they're incapable of running. And until you get sturdy enough, until you work to get off your blocks at a football level that's going to win, why would I just keep cooking up, you know, all kind of stuff that if somebody catches us slipping on these zone blitzes that everybody wants, it's going to look 10 times worse than those missed tackles that we see going on all over. Joe, you better stop tying up Brian Hall.
It wasn't Joe.
Oh, it's
Todd.
Okay.
No, sorry, no, Joe was quick.
Thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, the only thing that made my Friday night better is, you know, me and Mark Ennis from being from Tampa. I was tied into that Rays Yankees game, and the Rays won, man. And I'm a big Rays fan. I would go down there a lot, take my son down there a lot. So that's the one thing that at least make me feel a little bit better on Friday.
Right.
And they won last night, but. Look, man, flipping back and forth, and here's the thing. I'm going to preface it with this. I know we don't, you know, people are talking about the players, and these are, you know, the upperclassmen of Petrino. I get all that. The thing that concerns me, man, is, like, again, it's just fundamental stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get we don't have the athletes right now, especially on defense, like before the Clemson and Miami. I get all that. But tackling is fundamental. Division I, if you're a D1 football player in a Power 5 program, that's fundamental stuff, man. I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to be the best athlete, the fastest athlete. You should be able to wrap up and tackle a person. These kids haven't done it. I mean, carrying over from Satterfield, and again, somebody said like 3 or 4 years or whatever, and that's absolutely correct. And that's my thing, man. Every time I watch that defense, it looks like before the snap happens, the defensive players, half of them don't even know where they're going. They're looking to the sideline. They're looking to each other.
Well, to be fair, they have been lined up correctly since the Miami debacle. They've been in the places they've supposed to be.
Well, the one play I was thinking of when that Georgia Tech guy, he caught a touchdown. Isaiah Hayes. I mean, the guy ran right by him, and Isaiah Hayes goes and covers a receiver that's already covered. You know, it's stuff like that. It's fundamental stuff. I mean, I will say this. That's the thing that concerns me on the coaching side. The other side of it is I get the predictability and things like that. It is predictable. But here's the thing. Like with Malik, I think at this point in time, man, I'm not saying Conley or the other kid with T. Webb or whatever, not saying that's the answer. But I think we've reached the stage in the season where you at least give them a series or two just to see what it looks like. Right now, Malik Cunningham is zoned in on 2-2 Atwell. Every team you play knows that. Every team. So it's like you have to find somebody. Des Fitzpatrick's a good receiver, man. Braden Smith's a good receiver. You have to spread out the ball and not just be – he threw 13 times to 2-2. You got to change it up where you spread this ball around. I mean, the other thing I'll say, one last thing, man, on the defensive side too. I get the whole blitz. You can't blitz because our secondary can't hold up. I get all that. But Friday night, man, when you're playing a freshman quarterback, that's the perfect time to at least give it a shot. Because that's the one time when you're playing a freshman quarterback who turns the ball over, has known to turn the ball over, you bring any type of pressure you can to get them off key there. And that's just my opinion, man. But my thing is, the one thing that's disappointing in it all is just the fundamental stuff on the defensive side. I get it. We don't have the athletes. But these guys should be able to tackle. I mean, I'm flipping back and forth. I think I counted 15 or so missed tackles. And if you do that, it could be a different game if you bring the guy down instead of four or five guys bouncing off tackling the kid. So we'll see, man. I do agree with Brian Hall on this. It's time. This season, to me, it's pretty much a wash. You got to bring the youth movement in, dude. Bring these young kids in. Get them experience. Bring them in. Stop being, you know, best friends because they're upperclassmen and you're playing them. Bring in these young guys and give them a shot. So that's my thought.
Joel, you know, I do love
jump
when
on
you,
the bandwagon.
Listen,
let's do it.
Joel, I do love when you call, Joel. But I will say this, man. Speaking of predictability, Joel, you are Mr. You are Mr. Blame the Coach. You are every single time Mr. Blame the Coach. And Joel, I know you're here's the problem. You are a diehard fan. So what I'm going to say is not going to apply to you in your coach blame because you just want to win. Right? But some people look to blame the coach. I'm going to take this call and I'm going to explain exactly what I mean as far as the coach's responsibilities in this thing. And I will say this. I do agree with you about him saying the one criticism that I have of Coach Satterfield and his post-game press conference. Actually, I'll let y'all know after I take this call. Scott, thanks for joining us on 939. Fire away.
Yeah, hey, what I was talking about the game on Saturday, like we're talking about. I agree with the one guy
Friday.
That just got off the phone with the defense. I agree we don't have the dogs, but when you go to make a tackle, you got to wrap somebody up. That shoulder drop and they bounce them off somebody else or something, and the guy's gone and missed assignments. But, you know, the thing, too, is I think that the offensive and defensive line, they're not effective at all. I mean, it's just it's like they're non-existent.
Even when you run for 150 yards?
Yeah, but you got to look at a back like Javion Hawkins. He could run with that with me and you up there blocking for him. But the thing about it is, I just don't think, you know, you're putting the defense in a lot of bad situations. I'm not saying that. And I also agree with the guy, too. I'm not saying Malik Cunningham isn't the guy, but for some reason he doesn't want to turn the ball loose. And I get he doesn't have a lot of time because of our offensive line. But I would at least stick T. Webb in there, give him a shot. You know, he's got that big cannon arm. Steve talks about him on his highlights. He looks like, you know, he throws the ball like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, where you're 1-3, you're going to end up being 1-6 here real soon if you don't do something. And I think now I kind of agree with everybody. I think it's time to start shuffling people around and get them back hungry for their spots and see if somebody flips up and comes up and winds up being good. But I think to blame the defense, fundamentals, that's unexcusable when you're a D1 Power 5 kid. And one more thing, I think what we're doing, too, is when we're playing these teams, we're playing five-star kids that are 300 pounds, and we've got a three-star, 240-pound kid. And you got a 260-pound lineman, these 330-pound guys just as fast him blocking him, you know, or 300-pound guy blocking him. We don't make a difference on either side of the ball when it comes to the line. And I don't think you can take three-star kids. This isn't Appalachian State. And I don't mean a bad towards Satterfield.
But Javion's a three-star, too, though.
Yeah, but the thing, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You can compete in their conference with three-star players. You're not going to compete in ACC. We've got all those good coaches. NC State's up this year. I mean, you're just going to continually have these kids. You've got to start recruiting four- and five-star, not two- and three-star and unknowns and hope this guy turns into something. You know, that's like losing Zim Mikowski over in Floyd Knobs. We need those size kids. We need the 280, 300-pound kids that have speed. And I'm not saying Zen has speed because I've watched him. He doesn't have a lot of speed, but he's got a lot of potential. No. But the thing about it is, you can't be on that line and be 40 and 60 pounds lighter in the same speed. And that doesn't work at all. But I'll let you go.
Scott, I totally appreciate the call. But, Scott, that was a vent session. Scott.
Definitely.
That was a 100. I need you to know that was a vent session. And I need you to just acknowledge, like, right in your car right now, just
I
say.
I bet he feels better now.
Yeah, right. Just say, yeah,
he
right.
He needed that.
Because, Scott, what you did is just said, the offensive line can't do anything. The defensive line can't do anything. 150 yards is 150 yards rushing. You said Malik can't throw the ball. You said just scrap the whole season because it's all over with. Put all the young guys in that haven't proven anything. Like, you just basically said panic on every single aspect of the entire program 15 months after going 2-10.
He's just hammering the panic
that
button.
That was a complete panic hammer button call. I'll take this one before I kind of talk about the Coach Satterfield situation. Tino the Barber, fire away.
Hey, you know what, Marcus? I want to talk about Louisville, but first thing first, go ahead and hit it, Brian.
No, he got it rolling. He got it rolling.
Oh, okay. Hey. Steve Rummage here.
Right.
So I got his back. My man Steve. How about them Cowboys?
Good call.
Hey, man, we got our forwards up, preparing for Dak. We got them up. We're going to hold them high. But we moving on with AD. Andy Dalton, not the AD in L.A. All right? We're going to move on. And look, this could be the change we need, you know, get back to running Z. And look, we're in first place in the NFC league. But make it to the playoffs, and anything can happen, boy. Hey.
Fair enough.
Hey, say it to me one time. Give it to me one time.
How about some Cowboys?
Hey.
I appreciate the call, Tino. Fair enough. You had to get
that. It was
that
good
in
that he picked up the slack for him.
That works. Okay, so
you
here.
Know, we were about to have to, you know, give him another loss to the Giants.
Oh. Here's what I'll do. I found an exit route for people on this state, on this this theme, this part of the show. Cause this it had to be said. And I opened the show, I kind of teased it. People's perspectives on the coach player blame matrix, right? Normally, I don't agree with the public. And fortunately, I was blessed to be in a position to see behind the scenes in a lot of high, high level coach player relationships and where the success is and where the failures are. And the mentalities, everybody knows this. I love to be involved in the psychoanalysis of the player, the fan, the, you know, these relationships. And I started to notice a theme, and it's a really uncomfortable theme because I know we all care. We all passionate. We all try to do the best we can. But, you know, first thing, when you go into therapy, they ask you about childhood experiences that shape who and what you are. And again, the bailout, there's a bailout here. And the bailout is, I'm an emotional fan. Emotional fan fires coaches. Emotional fan makes kids transfer in the middle of the game. Emotional fan says 150 yards from a 3-star recruit ain't nothing. Who cares? I could have did that. That's an emotional fan. But when you start using your logic and your logic starts telling you, I want to blame the coach for something. I want to blame a coach who we've seen a coach do something miraculous. And if your natural inclination is to say that coach got lucky or it was something else, he went from 2-10 to 8-3, but it was just, stop it. A coach came in knew how to communicate, knew how to get the best out of his players. He did it right in front of your eyes. And to be at blame, Mark, is not how it should go. But here's the thing. Here's where it gets uncomfortable. And I know it gets uncomfortable because I see it. People who find a way and put the emphasis on find, put that word find in bold. The same people who find a way to blame a coach, even when they see how many player-centric mistakes they see on a floor, are the same people who blame the teachers when their kids aren't doing well. Consistently blame the teachers. They are the same people that blame the coach for their failures in youth sports. They're the same people who can blame their own parents for not sending them to camp. They're the same people that can find a way to blame somebody. Well, his hands were up, but his pinky was down. And so how did you know what I'm saying? You're looking to point a finger. It's the same one that blames the other parent for not doing enough and all the problems. It's the same person across the board. A coach can put you in a position to score a touchdown. And if you say Ian Pfeiffer shouldn't have been running that route, it should have been Marshawn Ford. Do you hear how asinine that? People actually are saying, Ian Pfeiffer never goes out for a pass. Why does he go out for a pass on that one in the first place? You see what I'm saying? You can watch that entire game. And I'm not talking about the fan. I'm talking about the weak-spirited individual who wasn't successful in their sport or their pursuits. And they say, well, I'm going to go at this coach. This coach is doing this or that. No. What that is you. That's something inside you that wants to challenge the authority of the boss because it's never your fault. You get your opportunities. You mess them up. Teacher, I didn't know. I wasn't that. Not to look inside and say, no, it's okay to say you missed the tackle. We lose the game when you miss the tackle. Have I taught you to take angles to make sure you reroute every player? Yes. Did you do that? No. End of story.
The coach is used as a scapegoat a lot of time, is what you're saying, basically, in that it's not always the coach's fault that the players could be put in the right positions and they just not execute. And usually tackling is one of those things.
Right. Listen, I taught you everything you need to know to execute. Tick Rogers is confirmed. When he confirms it, I know I'm telling the truth. Listen, a coach can explain to you every aspect of that. Do you want to know? Okay, Brian, I'm going to ask you this question. I don't expect you to know the answer. Do you know who was on the post game? Do you know who did the post game? The players.
No, I'm going to take a guess, though. So is there three of them?
Defensively.
Defensively. Actually, let's say that they put Jared Goldwire out
offensively
there.
And defensively. Just give me one from each side.
I bet they threw Javian Hawkins out there after a 150-yard rushing day, and then I bet that they threw Mikael Cunningham out there just because he's the quarterback, and then I bet that they threw. Well, I said Jared Goldwire originally. I'm gonna say. Is it bad that I have to sit here?
No. Listen, because here's the thing. I told you, I don't expect you to know it at all. You know why? Because nobody knows. But I do, and I know why. So I'm going to tell you who was out there, and you're going to know why. Because you've produced this show long enough. And don't overthink it. Just first thing that comes to mind, Isaiah Hayes was the defensive player.
No way. He's the one that they've been calling. like, can we make a switch? But they take him to the press conference.
He went in the press conference. Elaborate. Talk.
Well, the thing is we went, you know, I was listening to the Diener show on the way in, and they were like, you know, like, maybe we should make a change with Isaiah Hayes.
Forget Diener right now. Brian Hall, why did they choose Isaiah Hayes to do the post game?
Because they knew he was going to get the tough questions.
I'm glad you didn't overthink it. Your post game was Malik and Isaiah Hayes. You know what that was? That was teaching. That's what a real teacher does. A real teacher says, y'all been clamoring for Isaiah Hayes.
Y'all messed up, so you got to go answer the questions.
Hayes, I gave you a shot. You get on the goal line. I could hear that dude pop. I could hear the offensive running back run through you from 75 yards away. Everybody at home heard that on the boom, Mike. Son, I love you, and I want you to be better. But you and Malik, you go right out there right now, and you go sit in front of that camera. Because here's the thing.
You answer questions about why you missed tackles.
No, but here's the thing. I don't even want this to be misconstrued as I'm putting you under the bus. What he's doing right now is I want to see how you answer those questions. I want to know. I want to read your body language, because everybody knows whether or not you know it. Okay, you know it, but you may not know you know it. But after a game, you read body language of players who scored 30 points or had the big numbers and lost. And you know what you look for? You look for this. I mean, we got to just get back to it. Sorry, I kind of got away from the mic a little bit. Everybody has seen that post-game interview where a guy's leaning back in the chair, and he's subliminally blaming teammates. He's saying, I got the ball out fast, but, you know, we just got to make the play. Okay, no, I know what that means, and Satterfield knows what that means. And people who like to look at interviews and follow sports and see people's reactions and love the details of sports, you know what that means. If Malik gives you a feeling that I did my part, see, what do you think Satterfield is thinking? If you can see that from home, he chose Isaiah Hayes, who probably has some of the more glaring
mistakes. No, I think you're right, though.
That
a lot of times,
random.
Like you want to hear people say it for themselves.
Yes.
And you want them to be able to step up and take credit and say, hey, you know what? I messed up.
Yes.
I know what I'm doing. I know that I messed up.
Yes.
I'm going to bounce back.
Because you're going to be asked, Isaiah, you're going to be asked, are there fixable things? You're going to be asked, what did you do that could help the team? Or what can you do to help the team? And some players are going to say, I gave up this, I gave up that, I gave up that. They're gonna be comfortable saying, I gave up, you know, the dig route, you know, I should have been tighter on him. Or some people are gonna say, stuff happens.
But you're 100% right that Satterfield's gonna watch the answers to that press conference.
Oh, hell yes.
Like he
is.
Watches game film.
Because
he's gonna be like, he wants to know that Isaiah knows that he made mistakes and that he's gonna take responsibility
yes.
for it and move forward. Because if he went up there and was like, you know, making excuses yeah. and saying, oh, no, you know, well, this guy, you know, let him go past. It really
yes.
wasn't my coverage. You know, then he's going to be like, you're not taking responsibility.
Right. Again, yeah. Before I hit this phone call, it's a trait. It's a generational curse. It's a trait. It's something in you that says it's the teacher's fault. It's the coach's fault that I didn't make it. It's somebody else's fault that I don't have that job. You know, it's all, you know, those people, again, one time you could be right. Some individual situation, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But what I'm saying is across the board, guy complains about not having a spot, you know, on the radio. Guys, you know, guy doesn't like, you know, where he is at the TV station. You know, everything is always somebody else's fault is the same guy who only wants to blame the coach. And it's inside your youth, it's inside your DNA, it's inside your psychology. And until you fix that, you'll be miserable watching sports. Frank, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Sorry about the sermon. It was on your mind.
No. Y'all, you okay, boy, but you stole my thunder big time. It's your fault, Marcus.
Fair enough.
No. Well, basically, what you just said is what my coach always told me. If you're man enough to take the credit, be man enough to accept the blame. Mm. You know, and I think that is a great teaching point when it came to Isaiah Hayes facing the music or whatnot.
Yes.
You know, because guess what? Now this separates the boys from the men, and I want to say this. You know, I look at some of the things on the sidelines and what I did not see. I mean, for whatever reason, I think we were off really in the first quarter, even before the fumble. I'm looking at the lack of enthusiasm on the sideline, the lack of interaction between the players on the sideline. You know, and that's what I've seen in 2018. You know, nope, they were just out there. And I'm not, you know, criticizing anyone. I just think that sometimes when you read your own clippings, you think you can just show up and everything will work itself out. And this team does not have the talent to do that. And obviously, looking at the defensive side, they don't have the fundamentals down. Now, whether that's coaching or whether that's effort, I think it's a little bit of both. But the offense, my only concern about the offense is Malik threw a pass that Des Fitzpatrick absolutely went up and got.
Right.
Took it away from the defender. And my concern is that I don't know if it's a chemistry issue between him and Dez, but Dez ought to be getting the ball a little bit more often than what he's getting. The passes being thrown to him. And I'm gonna hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my calls, guys.
No, listen, I appreciate the call. I tell you what, we're rolling along. Grades are coming up next. We'll take our last commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. By the way, people, I hope you heard the commercial during the break. Do you remember some of the best wings you've ever had? 502 Cafe goes in that. They have a food truck going around. Four Pegs is the recipe for the 502 Cafe wings.
Oh, there's a little connection?
Yes, there is. The same person who's making those wings is Four Pegs. Making those wings.
Chris makes some good rings.
1053 Goss Avenue, Four Pegs. They have the catering. They have the private rooms. They have the social distancing. They have the patios.
We have to go check that out.
You damn right. We got to do that. They have
to go get some wings for lunch.
All of that stuff, they have it. Four Pegs. Keep that in your playbook. So here's the thing. It's grading time. Everybody waited. We're going to go right up to that. Grading time. Whew. 8150, 93.9. Jump in here if you want to get some grades in. You know, you're probably going to have to be a little quicker on them. Brian, let's start off with it. Let's just attack this. Malik Cunningham, go.
I know. This is going to be tough, but I'm actually going to give him a B minus. And the reason I say that is because the guy still passed for 229 yards on a touchdown, didn't have any turnovers. He had two rushing touchdowns and 50 yards. I know that people are, you know, debating over the QB change. We debated a lot last week if we should make a change or not.
Right.
And I'm not saying that we should or shouldn't. But as far as what he actually did on the field, I'll give him a B-.
First texter says C. Here's the thing. The more and more you watch it, the more and more you can critique Malik in this game. That's why I started the show with the theme. You can compliment, you can critique, you can criticize, you can blame, or you can slander. I felt like he needed more critiquing in this game than criticism. When he threw the football late, he made sure it was uncatchable by anybody. Critique, you have to hit Tutu Atwell wide open in the middle of the field. You have to let the football go with some more zip. This is critiquing. Tutu Atwell should not have to dive to make a two-handed grab in the end zone when he's completely wide open. But you fix that by having confidence in your accuracy, letting the ball go, trusting your eyes. Malik, I give him a C. I give him a C++, though, you know?
Like, you gave him a C++, I gave him a B-.
Right. Yeah, I'll take that. Again, Texter says, can't keep overthrowing, which I agree. But the underthrow is the interception. So you definitely err on the side of overthrowing than interceptions. Not that you do it on purpose, but that gap closes when your confidence grows. And if you hit a point where your confidence is not where it needs to be, that's the locker room dilemma. That's the answering. That's why I keep sending you out to the press conference to talk to people so you can learn some accountability to people more than just your team. Because a lot of guys are good in practice, and you know what they do? Their team knows they're good in practice and all that good stuff, but they're not getting the outside criticism. They're the backup quarterback syndrome. Isaiah Hayes, welcome to the backup quarterback, becoming the starting quarterback, ending up out there answering questions. Maybe later on in the week we'll kind of address some things that were said in the press conference. The Satterfield comment that I didn't like, the one I didn't like, is out of everything. Like I said, I like his straightforwardness. But I would rather him not bring in the last 3 or 4 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been poor tackling for 3 or 4 years. That's you being petty.
Yeah.
That's you being a little agitated. I mean, I get it. Like I said.
But they have been.
It's not wrong. He was 100% correct. But you don't bring that up. That's like saying our facilities aren't as good as some of the other programs.
If you're going to keep doing that, it's going to keep happening. So you got to eventually make a turn.
Listen, it's just some things you can't talk about.
Yeah.
There's some things you can't complain about. There's some things you can't, like, I'm sorry, you can't make reference. Listen, let me do that. let me remind everybody 15 months ago, we had literally the worst defense in the history. I said this on the YouTube channel. I said this. Those juniors and seniors on Georgia Tech's team are the same juniors and seniors that put up 66 points on this Louisville team.
Yeah, a year ago.
Right. You think that coach doesn't say, listen, guys, I know we're stinking it up, right? Or I know our record ain't where we want it to be, but I'm going to read all the names of the guys that y'all have already played against when they were 2-10. And when he starts reading that and you start reading those names, yes, you listen, as y'all was running over them back then, you need to run over them now. I mean, just for confidence sake. And again, Louisville's not the best catbird seat type of team, type of school, type of program, type of fan base, all that good stuff. Okay.
Real quick, though, this is kind of going to shock some people, I think. So Jeff Sims looked pretty good in the game. Malik Cunningham finished with a higher QB rating.
Sims is a player.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You, it's so weird because you sit here and if you compare the two, you're like, dang, Sims outplayed.
Yeah, because listen, Cunningham. You know what people don't do? They don't say, yeah, Sims took a 3-yard screen. He threw a 3-yard screen pass that it was a game changer, an absolute game changer. Malik doesn't get that. You know, he
there's things the stat book doesn't.
Malik
show.
Cunningham threw a pat. There's two throws that are the most disrespected throws from the game. This is why I say Malik is a critique this game. He threw Ian Pfeiffer the most perfect pass in history. Not really, but I'm being hyperbolic, but you get my point. The Ian Pfeiffer drop, the Marshawn Ford catch. You remember that one up the sideline that you were like, it literally brushed across the defender's shoulder pad as it was falling right into Marshawn Ford's hands. It was a beautiful, beautiful, perfect timing. Okay, offensive line. First text says B minus. Why B minus? Oh, offensive line. What do you say?
I mean, as a whole, as a unit, I'm going to give them a B. Just because, you know, they had a 242-yard rushing day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty hard. I mean, I think that they did their job in that sense. They give up some, you know, it was a solid performance. I'm going to say a B.
No, listen. If you look at a quarterback pocket, people, is a U-shaped. Now, imagine you are the quarterback, and you're like a little magnet that's trapped inside the U. If you go to either side, you're getting close to pressure. You're going to get tackled. But if you roll up into the U area, it buys you the time you need to complete passes. You're going to have to get comfortable moving forward, not right, not left. I give them – they're really close. B plus.
Yeah, they're close.
The B plus.
I mean, they're still giving up a few things,
B.
But when you have a 242-yard rushing day, I would say that Dwayne Ledford's pretty happy with the O-line.
I'm okay with a B. Okay with a B. Those stretch plays got I don't know. Film might bring them to a B plus. I'll give them a B right now, but when you see how many times Javian Hawkins did not just take it, you know, did not hit that's the first, you know, the quick hit. He may have had a lot more openings than we thought. Because that first play of the game, he took the quick hit and was able to break it long very quick. So I'll give him a solid B. I'll leave it a solid B.
You want to do like maybe the receiving group as a whole or?
Yeah, let's do
or the do you want to do individually?
Let's do receiving group as a whole.
Just because we're getting close to the end.
Yeah, we'll do a whole.
Receiving group as a whole, I'm going to give him a a B minus or C plus. And the reason I say that is because it was a two-man show. And, you know, Tutu Atwell and Marshawn Ford did their job. So if I was grading those two, I would give them a you know, in that A-B range. But everybody else has not showed up. Des Fitzpatrick had 136-yard catch, which was solid. Justin Marshall, where have you been? You got two catches for 19 yards.
But when you show
we
up,
we haven't seen anything out of Braden Smith since week one. He had one catch for 4 yards. And then Hawkins only had 3 catches for 15 yards out of the backfield.
When you say not showing up, are we blaming Malik for those?
No, he's trying to spread it around. I'm just saying that we need a little bit more diversity. Marshawn Ford stepped up this game, but up until this game, it was really Tutu Atwell, and then everybody else was kind of just trying, you know, noticeably different stats. Is what I'm saying.
Mm.
And I get it. When you're the quarterback, you can't always blame. I mean, he's obviously trying to spread the ball around because, let's see.
What did you give Malik?
8 different people catch the ball.
What did you give Malik?
Do what?
What grade did you give Malik?
Malik, I gave him a B minus.
I gave him a C.
You gave him a C plus plus.
I after I asked you that question, I'm bringing Malik down to a regular C. And I'm going to give that half a point to the wide receiver group. But
so you're gonna give a higher grade to them. Are you going to give them a B?
Yes. I'm going to give them a
B.
With you. But here's the problem. This part is personal. Because, you know, we're a big fan of Dez, right? But here's the problem. There's one glaring problem. I can't have Dez not score that football. You're a big-time receiver. You have to be able to get that ball to that end zone, right? Like that's one of those send a message plays. You know what I'm saying? You have to attack that defender and take away his angle and get to that. You have to get to that end zone.
So he did pass the ball to 7 different receivers, but he only had 2 go over 50 yards.
Yeah, no, but see, here's the thing. I forget the caller it was earlier, but let them tell it. They say he only looks for Tutu. He hit 7 different receivers. For 250 plus.
Tutu's got 6 catches and Ford has 5, and then nobody else has over 2.
Right. No, listen. He waited, moved up in the pocket to hit Tutu. Yeah, so I'm still giving C. Dez got to get in that end zone. I'm docking him half a point because, yeah, I expect more out of you. you get the curve, the treatment. Okay, defensive line.
Shoot.
I was getting ready to tell you to dump yourself
on that
one.
I'm going to say C-minus, just because, like, I mean, they gave up almost 200 yards rushing and didn't put a lot of pressure. Gave up 192 yards rushing to five different guys combined. Only 34 carries. They were averaging almost 6 yards a carry. Four rushing touchdowns.
Are we combining the linebackers and the line?
We can, because they're both stopping the run.
If we're combining them, they get a D.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. C minus D.
Yeah, they get a D. They get a D. You get a D. I watched that touchdown, and I watched them engage, and they didn't even try to spin off their listen. They were wanting to get holding called. They weren't getting it called. There was some holding. But if you quit as soon as somebody starts holding you, the referee will never know they're holding you. I did not see spinning to disengage at all. I mean, I saw it, but not really. Not in any violent motion. It's just they didn't play violent at all. D. I feel like I'm being generous, and it's a poor performance out of that group. Or did we just stick them all together? Did we just stick them all together? The entire defense.
I mean, the entire defense.
What do you get the entire defense?
Well, I think you do the secondary, and then you do the. I think the up front. I mean, we're going to give them the same grade, I feel the issue.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at a C-minus for the secondary, too.
That's what made me ask that question. You got to get you D the whole defensive squad.
So, passing-wise, we gave up 258 yards, three touchdowns. We didn't get any interceptions. And they spread the ball around to six different guys.
Coaching.
I honestly... I don't put a lot of this on Satterfield, and I could be one of the only ones. It goes back to the thing that you said, like building a foundation, and we're kind of like building for the future right now. And
dude, he had to punt that ball.
Honestly, it wasn't that we were out of position. Like, we were there. We just weren't making the tackles. But you still can't give him like a good grade just because – but. I don't put as much on him. I'm going to say B, my B. I'm going to say just B.
Yeah, listen, I'm B plus plus.
Okay.
I'm B plus plus and almost damn near to an A minus.
Does it have to do with some of the after games?
You know, I add that in. I add in all the psychological warfare with his players. I add all that stuff in. Listen, the play call, again, Ian Pfeiffer, you got to catch that ball. Javian, we're moving the ball all day long.
Got to make your tackles.
You got to – listen, you can't fumble my ball three times. You can't do that. You can't do that.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Again. You punted that ball. You go ask Coach Brown, can your boys give me a stop? Yes. Punt the ball and let's get them. We're down by five. Get us the ball back. Malik scored a ball because we've been moving it all day. Give us that football back one good time, Coach Brown. Punt the ball. I'm okay with it. At the time, listen, I'd have fired you myself. Actually, I apologize, Vince Tyree, if I pressed send on that text message. I hope I didn't. But consider I haven't gotten a call from Vince Tyree, I assume I did not press send. Don't press send. Fun Monday morning. I love sports. I love hanging out with you guys.
All right, show for
12 every day.
Weekend after that weekend.
I know.
I feel like we got some people's spirits.
The sun came up. The sun came up. We were able to spit some facts and get it done. As always, 8150 939 is the number. 3831 939 is the text line. YouTube channel made for the Ville. Middays with Marcus Maybin on 939 The Ville.
Mike.com or contact your local agent for a quote today.